There appears to be a lot of enthusiasm at the moment for eliminating the twice-yearly switch from standard time to daylight time and back. State legislatures on the West Coast and elsewhere have bills pending that would pick one time scheme and stay there. But there are issues. It's already been pointed out that if we go to daylight time permanently, the sun will rise after 8 in the morning in the winter, well past the time when many kids have gone off to school. Researchers in Europe looked at the situation and, in particular, bills in the California legislature and found some potential conflicts. Two researchers were involved. One of them joins us on the phone. That is Anne Skeldon, professor of mathematics at the University of Surrey, south of London in the UK. Professor Skeldon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, there's certainly been a lot of political discussion in the United States about daylight time. Is that what prompted your research?
So, I guess generally I'm very interested in understanding factors that determine when we want to get up and when we go to bed. And within that, then, so that's our biological patterns. And then what happens when school and work schedules conflict with that? And I was particularly interested in this California debate just because it seemed like that there was a big move to shift school start time later, but then this shift to permanent daylight saving would undermine that effect.
Because the schools might start later, but it would still be darker when the students were heading to school?
Yeah, so really the important factor is that when we sleep is linked to the light patterns that we see. So in order to, so if we have bright light in the morning, then that means we want to tend to go to bed earlier and get up earlier. And by moving to permanent daylight saving, we will reduce that bright light in the morning.
So this is really about syncing our bodies with the light we get. I mean, do human bodies generally make rather bad clocks?
Yes. So actually, it would be really, really difficult to make a very precise biological clock. And so there are really these really neat experiments. A few decades ago, mostly actually, carried out in caves where people isolated themselves from clocks and all the kind of natural cues to the daily variations in temperature and light. And then they saw that typically what happens is that each day, the researchers would go to bed a little bit later and get up a little bit later, sort of living on a sort of 25-hour clock.
Interesting. So that's the way it would tend to go naturally. So obviously, sunlight helps, as you've already pointed out. I mean, is it sunlight at any time, or do we also get some cues from things like angle of light and other attributes?
What really matters is the number of photons that get into your eye. And so it's the intensity and it's the spectral, the wavelength of those photons that matters, the energy of those photons. So it doesn't really matter what angle, it just matters on the intensity and the actual wavelength of the light.
So ideally we would do most of our activities while there is natural light present?
I think the thing is that it depends on time of day. So you want bright light sort of soon after your natural wake time, and you want dim light sort of hours before bedtime. It doesn't really matter whether it's natural light or light from an artificial source, but the thing is that getting light from artificial sources, light tends to be much, much dimmer. So one thing that I didn't realize until I started working in the area was that natural light tends to be, 100 times brighter than indoor light. So the easiest way for us to get really bright light is by going outside.
Okay, so it sounds like this is a bit of an evolutionary speed bump. We're still trying to do things that our bodies aren't really naturally attuned to do.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. But we could design our buildings better to make sure that we had more bright light coming in through windows. There is huge advances in lighting technology, which could maybe help have our offices brighter lit. I'm sure you've seen stuff in the media around turning lights down, the blue light component and light down on phones and other electronic devices in the evening. And those are also will help in terms of helping us adjust to living on a 24-hour day.
I have seen that about the blue light. Is that simply because it more closely mimics daylight or something?
So in our eye, we actually have five different photoreceptors that are linked to the circadian, to the body clock. And one of those is particularly tuned to blue light, and we're particularly sensitive to that. So our body clock is particularly sensitive to that particular wavelength. And in natural light, I mean, the amount of blue light varies across the day, so there's more blue light in light in the morning than there is in the evening.
Our guest on the Jefferson Exchange is Anne Skeldon, professor of mathematics at the Faculty of Engineering and Physical Sciences at the University of Surrey in the United Kingdom. We're talking about daylight saving time and changes that we might make to that and how it also affects our biological clock and all the other processes that go with that. Join the conversation on the Exchange as we talk about our research, school start times, and daylight saving time confuse California lawmakers. We'll get into those specific bills in just a moment. You can join us at 800-838-3760. To talk about daylight saving time and where you think it might go or how it affects you, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So let's bring in now the issue of teenagers and their need for sleep. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while, certainly in the United States, and there have been some adjustments. Have schools in the UK, for example, adjusted start times to accommodate this need for teenagers to get more sleep?
Well, so I guess the situation in the UK is a little bit different from the States. I mean, our schools for teenagers actually already start at 8:30 a.m. typically. So we're really not in the same position, I think. There has been calls to start school much later. We're talking about 10 a.m. But I think there isn't a big movement behind that here, not in the same way as there is in the States.
Right, and of course, so we get a fair number of high schools that start at times like 7:30 or 7:45 in the morning.
Sure.
Yeah. So then you have this California. The two bills that you refer to in your research are Senate Bill 328, which would prohibit middle and high schools from starting earlier than 8:30 in the morning. But then at the same time, there's also it's Assembly Bill 807, which would result in a switch to permanent daylight saving time. And you see a conflict here.
Yeah, I mean, this is really, this is really a result of the basic principles that of how sleep timing work. It's not really particular research we have done, although we're very much interested in light, but it's based on decades of research in sleep and circadian biology. You know, we know that when we sleep is linked to our light exposure, and it then just follows that if you're going to change the light exposure to later in the day, you're going to want to go to bed later in the day and get up later in the day. So it's inevitable there'll be a conflict, really. There's another very interesting study that's just come out that actually compares the counties on the far west of time zones with counties on the far east of time zones. So neighboring counties, just slightly different sides of a time zone boundary. And in comparing those communities, what they see is those with the later sunset, people get less sleep, they earn less, and they have poorer health. And that's, again, all related to this this timing of the light issue.
Wow, and are there other factors that were controlled for there?
I mean, they actually controlled for a huge number of different things. I actually don't have them in front of me, but mm-hmm. it's part of a much bigger picture. I mean, there's three major biological rhythms research societies. So the European Biological Rhythms, the European Sleep Research Society, and the Society for Research into Biological Rhythms. And they have put out a joint statement about the fact that permanent daylight saving time is bad for health. You know, it's going to result in more obesity, more cardiovascular disease, high rates of diabetes, more cognitive decline, you know, high cancer rates. So I think the evidence for later light, leading to more circadian misalignment, leading to poorer health outcomes, is pretty strong.
Well, I have noticed that it seems like when people talk about staying on one time scheme, it would be daylight time, and I'm still trying to figure out why, because it's been pointed out immediately with the bill, for example, in the Oregon legislature, that we would have the sun rising at something like 8:22 in the morning at the winter solstice. So that's very late for kids who are getting on school buses in the dark.
Sure, I mean I am close to that. I mean, I think it's obviously, the further north you are, the bigger the issue, because the day's shorter, right, the further north you are. So it's less of an issue in San Diego than it would be in Seattle, you know. The other thing is that the further west you are in the time zone, the bigger the issue, because the further west you are, the later the natural, the later dawn and dusk are.
Do you have any personal preference yourself, Professor Skeldon, about how we should proceed?
Well, I mean, I would certainly vote for permanent standard time if there was a choice.
So this research was done by you and Dirk-Jan Diek. If I'm mispronouncing his name, please tell me. But is there further research ahead in this subject area for you and he?
So it's Professor Dirk-Jan Diek. Generally, we're very much interested in lighting and how sleep and light interact. I mean, there's many great studies in the lab looking at how light shifts the timing of the biological clock. There's some important work out in the real world, but we still really don't know enough about exactly what are light exposure patterns individuals get. And we know that many offices are very dark. We know that more could be done to enable people to get brighter light in the morning, and more could be done to turn light down in the evening. But we need to get out there and really get more data.
You mentioned earlier about five different photoreceptors in the eyes. I recall reading research a bunch of years ago that indicated even if you direct light behind the knees for people in the dark of winter in places like Alaska, it can help a bit. Have you run across research of that sort yourself?
No, I haven't, actually. My understanding, but then I'm a mathematician, my understanding was that the only photoreceptors for humans were in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for some other species it's different, but, you know, as I say, I'm a mathematician.
Right. I wonder if there's been some level of amusement for you, Professor Skeldon, in watching the discussions about daylight time or not making the change unfold and the ways in which political bodies seem to be approaching something that might actually need a little more science behind it.
I think it's not really amusement, because I think these are really important issues, you know, and it's actually more frustration that some of the messages that I know that sleep and circadian rhythm researchers are fully aware of just don't seem to have got out into some of these debates. You know, I'm sure that the messages that we've written in this paper are not a surprise to many other researchers in at least human sleep and circadian rhythms.
All right. Well, more research to come, obviously. This is in the April 22nd edition of Current Biology. It's called School Start Times and Daylight Saving Time Confuse California Lawmakers. Anne Skeldon at the University of Surrey has been our guest. Her partner on the research is Dirk-Jan Diek. Dr. Skeldon, thank you for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.